Thank you, choir. That was a beautiful song. I don't know how many remember this. Years ago in the old sanctuary, we had a Christmas program, and the young Keithley girl back there sang that. Now she's smiling and laughing. Do you want to come up and try it again? No, not so much? Okay. But thank you, choir. That was beautiful. So if you have your Bibles with you today, which I hope that you do, if you could turn to Genesis chapter 8, and we're going to focus on verse 4 as a starting point this morning. Genesis 8, verse 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open your word and we dive into it, Lord, so much truth, so much understanding to gain. And Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning about these words, Lord, that they would just open up a new avenue in our lives, Lord, that we would better understand what it is that you would have for us. And Lord, I just pray that your words would be spoke today, Lord, your thoughts, not mine, but Lord, that I could just be used by you to display your love and grace for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says again, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So as I began studying this week, trying to figure out where to go, Christmas time, and all I kept getting this sense of was just rest. It's okay. I have it under control. So I'm not necessarily talking about rest as in go lay down, take a nap, go to sleep, but resting and understanding that God is in control of all things. So I read this verse, and the ark rested. And then it got me thinking about the ark and what the ark represents. So if you have studied the ark at all, found in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that range, there has to be a reason why God decided to have Noah build this ark. And if we look at verse 5 of chapter 6, found in Genesis, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." It repented God that he had made man because of the wickedness and depravity of man. Their minds were only evil continually. That's all they thought about was evil thoughts. So God chose Noah, verse 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And that verse got me too. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." He found it. I think most of the time when we read this, we get this idea that God looked upon Noah and said, "I choose you. You're going to be the guy that's going to do this. Everyone else, forget them. They've messed up way too much." But later in Scripture, if you look, Noah would be found drunk in his tent, naked and uncovered. So is Noah perfect? No, just like King David. King David was known as a man after God's own heart, but yet David had many failures. So, Noah. But what about everyone else? No one else had a chance? Well, if you look at verse 3 of chapter 6, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God gave them 120 years to repent from their wicked ways. All this time, most of it, the majority, here Noah is building this ark. Most of the time, this picture of this ark is kind of found in children's nursery stories about this nice big boat and all these animals sitting on it and having a good time and celebrating, right? People put that in their nurseries for their young kids. But is that really what this account is about? No. It's judgment, isn't it? So if you look at some of the details of the ark, it was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. This isn't technically a ship or a boat. In fact, it was more probably like a barge. This boat, barge, wasn't intended to be navigated. It wasn't to be steered by Noah. But it was to float upon the water. Judgment came down in the form of rain, flooded the earth. So at this time, 120 years, when here Noah is building this boat, these people are seeing what Noah is doing and thinking, what is this guy doing? What would he need a huge boat for? Noah's talking about rain. What is rain? It had never rained on the earth before. If you go back and read, everything came up from underneath, or a light mist. There was no rain. But God chose to give these people 120 years to turn from their wicked ways and to find what? What did Noah find? Grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He looked in the eyes of what God was offering and he saw grace. And he took it. He received it. And in that, God gave him a plan that God had, to build this giant barge, if you will, made out of gopher wood. Gopher wood is the only time it's even mentioned is in this account. Doing some research, there has been some archaeological findings that coffins during that time were made out of gopher wood. The true meaning of gopher wood is kind of up for debate, whether it's an actual tree or whether it's something they did to process this wood to make it more durable to last longer. But we see in there too, in the story, if you read about it, he told Noah to pitch it inside and out. So where I come from on the West Coast, we find pitch off of trees. It's like sap to you guys. When my wife and I met, we talked about the word pitch, and she was like, what are you talking about? We call it sap. So depending on where you're from, maybe. So that's how I viewed it. But the biblical term for pitch is actually a petroleum-based product, which would be more like tar. Tar used to seal the inside and outside of this large vessel, if you will. But the word pitch is actually only found used in this term during this story or this account. For the Hebrew word for pitch is actually kapher, K-A-P-H-E-R. This is the only translation that would change kapher into the word pitch, but more than 70 times in the Old Testament, it's found as atonement. The atonement, or at-one-ment, right? So we think about our lives being atoned by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, right? There's, once you receive Christ, he covers all of it, right? So pitch in this case, this petroleum-based product, was to seal the boat so there was no leaks. There was one door on this vessel. Jesus would say, I am the door, found in John 10, that he's the only way to the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we start to get this picture of this boat, this ark. God's pouring down his judgment upon man, only saving Noah, his wife, his three sons, their wives, and animals, two of each kind. But we're seeing this judgment. But yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and has now been offered salvation, to be saved from judgment. You and I are saved from judgment, not a worldwide flood, but judgment of fire, the lake of fire. So when we accept Christ, we receive salvation. So Noah and the ark represent salvation in God. He was being saved from the depravity of man and the judgment of the earth. So when we read verse 8 and it says, and the ark rested, so here we got this picture of this giant vessel bobbing up and down on the seas. Noah was not in control of it, but God was in control of it. Our life of salvation is not always going to be easy. Easy breezy, right? You're in control. You steer it. No, it's not the case. God is in control. But there's rest. Noah knew he would be safe on the boat. Granted, it probably wasn't the most comfortable ride. I can't even comprehend or imagine what the aroma might have been like on the boat. But he was protected. He was safe. As are you and I in Christ. Our salvation is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. Our lives are not necessarily going to be the easiest thing, but you're safe. And there will be a day of rest coming. But at the same point, you and I can rest today in the fact that our salvation is based in Jesus Christ. So Noah found that grace. So my question for you at this point would be, what have you found in the eyes of the Lord? Have you found that grace that he offers? You know, as we think about baby Jesus being born, sometimes it's hard to get past the idea as we celebrate Christmas, that we celebrate Christ, not necessarily just the baby, right? But this is the time when he came to save mankind. But what did Mary see when she looked at the face of her baby? It just blows me away to even think about that. as they sang in the song, looking at the face of God. There's more things that you can read and study on this, this ark. In fact, we know that Scripture doesn't give us anything that doesn't have a true meaning to it. So also found there, it gives the exact date. I did a little research on that where it says the 17th, or the 7th month, the 17th day of the month. The Lord would actually change the Hebrew calendar to the 7th month becoming the 1st month. So there's speculation. It's kind of day by day in a sense. But what they're saying here is because the Lord would change the 7th month to the 1st month, and that would be found in Exodus chapter 12 if you're curious about that. It was at the Passover. And then the Passover was to begin on the 10th day, and then at the 14th day or the 15th day was when they would offer the sacrifices. So the 7th month would become the 1st month. It would begin on the 14th or 15th. And this says the 7th month, which would be the 1st month, on the 17th day. Well, what happened 3 days after the Passover? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, doing some research, some say yes, some say, oh, it's off by a day. I just thought it was very interesting that there's a possibility that the ark came to rest the exact same day that Christ would rise from the dead. Rest in your salvation in Jesus Christ. So, I have a few volunteers, my daughter Ella being one, and Gabby being one. And I want to spend a little bit of time reading some verses about resting. Resting in Christ. Resting in Jesus. So, if those young ladies would like to come forward. You don't have to act all nervous, girls. And these are not necessarily in any order particularly. They're just going to kind of follow the order that I have them marked. All right. So let's start in the book of Psalms. Which one of you would like to read Psalm 37:7?
Rest in the Lord and walk patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in this his way, because of men who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
It says rest in the Lord, doesn't it? All right. Little Miss Ella Audrey. Would you like to read Psalm 62, 1 through 2?
Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved.
Okay. Psalm 73, verse 26.
My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Psalm 91.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust.
So that was Psalm 91, verses 1 through 2. Ooh, Gabby, you get a longer one. Psalm 116, 4 through 8. Okay.
Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and brightness, ye of our God, is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt beautifully with thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from the death, mine eyes for tears, and my feet from falling.
Ella, would you like to read Isaiah 40, 29 through 31?
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail.
Fall.
Okay. But they But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings as eagles and shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Matthew 11:28-30. This is Jesus speaking.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Oh, there's like 12, 13, 14 more. No, just kidding. Okay. Hebrews 4:8-11.
For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
Just a couple more. Revelation 14, verse 13.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. He said, the Lord, their spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them.
And then Revelation 21:4.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Thank you, girls. So again, this is just some of the verses that talk about peace and rest in Christ. So as we start to celebrate Christmas, it's hard to just get yourself to focus on Jesus. There's so much distraction all around us. We attended our youngest daughter Olivia's Christmas program at school the other day. And although it was cute, I tell you, it just noisy, you know what I mean? And not necessarily just the noise that's coming out, but it's all about Santa Claus and reindeer and these kids. It's like, what are they being taught? Where's their focus going with what they're learning outside of here, outside of what you and I have for them? Santa Claus can be exciting, I guess, because he brings toys to the dear children, whatever they want, right? Supposedly. It's a lie. But Jesus Christ offers you eternal life, the best gift anyone could ever possibly receive. And these scriptures that these young ladies just read for you talk about this rest, and that salvation comes through Christ Jesus. So as we celebrate Christmas, I think about the story of Christmas found in Luke chapter 2, the account of the birth of Christ. And everything always depicts like it's just this quiet setting. There was nothing else going on. And I'm sure right where Jesus was born himself, with those that were around him, it probably was quiet. But yet, what was going on in Bethlehem at that time? Chaos, in a sense. Everybody was coming for this census to pay their taxes, right? There was no room in the inn, meaning the houses in which people were staying, there were no guest rooms left available. They were full because all these long-lost relatives have come to town to pay their taxes. It was busy. But you and I sometimes fall into the same trap. Granted, we're not going to pay our taxes, right? But we're traveling, we're doing this, we're doing that. It's not a bad thing, but at the same point, can it block out what it is that we're celebrating or trying to celebrate? So again, as I studied this last week, this whole idea of rest just came to mind. And the ark finally coming to rest, being tossed to and fro, if you will, by God's judgment on the world because of man's wickedness. But yet he provided safety. He provided salvation for Noah and his family. You and I have the same opportunity being offered salvation, and our families have the opportunity of salvation through this child that will be born 2 days from now as we celebrate. Eternal life. What more is there to want? So we also have a big opportunity slash, what's the other word I'm looking for? Obligation to speak truth to our family members about this truth that we have in Christ Jesus. So I would just ask for you, especially now that we're only a couple days away, just find rest in Jesus Christ. Spend time in his word. Allow his thoughts and his mind to set in your life. So that way on Christmas, as you celebrate the birth of Christ, you can just totally and fully be into him and not so much everything that's around us. It was kind of a hard sermon to deliver from the standpoint that I feel like in some cases I'm judging what's going on around, but I too fall into the exact same issue where I don't even focus on what I should be focused on. And it was interesting, yesterday I got home, I was in my office kind of going over a few things, and my dear wife, as she's struggling with her medical things, I get home and she's laying down, getting ready to take a nap, when I walked in and I said, what are you doing, babe? Oh, I'm just resting. And it was kind of like, hey, there you go, we're resting. It's like I can't escape this idea of rest. So I would just pray that you would just honestly take this into consideration and just resting in Jesus Christ. Study his word. Allow him to be everything that you need and all that you need, especially during this time of the year. There's so many out there that are watching what you and I do as well during this time. And if we're not focused on celebrating Jesus, but we're celebrating the holiday, and yay, I don't have to work for a couple days. Yeah, that is cool, but at the same point, focus where we need to focus. So, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to speak your truth. Maybe it didn't come out as clear as you would have it, but Lord, I know you speak to the hearts of your people. So Lord, I would just pray that you would speak to their hearts now, Lord, that you would allow this message to penetrate their hearts, Lord, that they would be mindful of who you are and what you've done for us. And as we celebrate Christmas, Lord, that we would give you all the praise and glory that you deserve, Lord, that it wouldn't be about us in any sense, but Lord, it would be all completely about you, and that we would just rest in the salvation that you provide. Lord, I just thank you for your love and thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name.